Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. I will read from Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, from verse 17 to 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here at these services, we are hearing God's Word. And this God's Word, core is the gospel. This gospel from Jesus Christ. This gospel, which is a Greek word, meaning it means that glad tidings. This message that people long to hear. So, from the beginning times, even in the Old Testaments, Isaiah in chapter 52, in the seventh chapter, says how wonderful it is to be on the mountains, those steps of the bearers of the glad tidings, those bearing the message of peace, that great glad message. This is a message of peace. It is for us Finnish. Throughout our history, been quite awaited for, and we've longed for it. When we are as veterans of the wars, in interviewing them, one did say that during the Winter War, he was close to the town of Viipuri. There on the 13th day, when this peace was proclaimed, there had been a forceful concentration and bombs bursting and thundering of munitions. And then all of a sudden came a man into the station who told them that now the clock is 10 o'clock and now there is peace. It was quite astonishing news, especially that when the weapons silenced and there was silence around, there close by there was a small tree which had been saved from these bombs and these grenade blasts. And on the branch of this tree, a bird was singing. It was quiet, and it was a bird who sang on the branch of the tree, and it felt unbelievable that this would be possible, that now there is peace. And this year, as we have heard in our opening comments, it is the 100th anniversary of independent Finland. And especially, we are remembering those times of World War II, what happened in Finland, of the Winter War, the Continuation War. And even though the peace terms were quite tough, nevertheless, it was a great miracle of God and a protection from God that we preserved our independence and were able to build our country in peace. The conditions were tough, but our independence was preserved. And it's exactly this type of peace which is spoken here in the Gospels. The war is over. And when in the New Testament it's taken into the word gospel, it means precisely that peace which Jesus Christ, our Savior, earned for us. God's anger it took upon his shoulders our sinfulness and fulfilled these deeds in front of God. And when we believe in the good message of the gospel, we can participate in this peace. This good message in this gospel here at these services, like in all other services, has been preached and will be preached. And it is this message of good tiding. There we are fulfilling that command of Jesus almost 2,000 years ago, where Jesus sent his disciples to preach the gospel to all those who were created all around the world. Throughout the whole earth, there was a need to go and bring this message of the peaceful gospel. And oh, here in the far north has this glad tiding of the gospel has come. And this, under this gospel, we have been able to for a long time already gather and listen to it and own this peace which a person receives through this gospel of peace. Listening to the word here today, we can strengthen our faith, but especially we also wish and ask from our Heavenly Father that gospel would be speaking to those unbelievers and help become faithful and receive that joy. When we speak of preaching, that word preach sometimes has a connotation in amongst the people. It's kind of negative, negative tone. It could be in the family. A younger person could wonder, why don't you always preach to me? But us olders and those who are upbringing children, we could moralize a lot and quite tightly and without love and command and teach. This is a type of preaching which the young people cannot always hear. But how it is so important that there at home we would also have the strength to speak with the spirit of love and preach in love, to guide and to teach from down up. But how is this, then, this all this this most important message? How does it reach the listener during our time? In many news, in their midst, in the last decades, in the information transmissions has advanced significantly. These transmissions, we see pictures and we hear news from all around the world. We hear the good news, which unfortunately is much less. You are bringing that good mind, but then these bad news, there's so much of it, they can depress and bring fear in some of these news as well, and there's plenty of those. And these great pictures of wars, terrorist acts, and natural catastrophes. And now through electronic messaging, we hear and we see everything that is significant that happening around the world, almost instantaneously. We could say that the whole world, the global population, and this social media also makes it very possible that this, we're exchanging ideas with our friends and those we do not know. And it could be that this social media use can also be very beneficial and building and through bringing gospel in to the listener through the social media as well. But it is a different matter. Today we're speaking of hateful speech, and there is quite provocation that hurts. Unfounded rumors, teasing, which can also direct the person hearing it into unbelief or not believing. But in these services, we can also know that many listen through the internet, and many people around the world, and translated, and into very many. And this text, this advancements have made all this possible. And those far away peoples, and those people who live far away, can also hear the gospel, that glad message of glad tiding. Some decades ago, and when I came, and I thought that it's not possible that we can all around the world preach the gospel, but transmit and be able to hear. But now today it is possible, and it's also seen in the population that comes here. It's to services. We have many flags who fly here, and which signify that there are many believers here attending from faraway countries, and they can themselves say how the message has been received and has gone some remarkable paths. God has directed his kingdom. We are here on a beautiful nature here at our service site. And God's nature here speaks to us as well. The great God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, announces himself through his works in nature. And we have seen that this current time in the Western societies, where we have for a long time had the message of Christianity, has been taught and has brought up nations. But there is a strong denial of God, and also for the Finnish population it is a minority who proclaim faith to a biblical faith. When I read something in a magazine, it was said that from the birth of the country, from the world, and the how it's been built. And there was an article who was titled, God is Not. And it goes into this worldly informational magazine is making a statement that using scientific methods and wise thoughts that God, it's not possible that God can exist, that this world has not been created. And it just kind of happened by chance. And if we think of this through our logic, this type of belief is quite and quite complicated. This nature and everything that has been built has been fabricated very finely. We have a creator who has created, and the people and those complex structures and all those things that a person can even begin to understand, and those machineries, and a lot of the machines take impact from the nature, and God speaks through us in his nature. And Jesus encouraged us on the Sermon on the Mount to look at the flowers and the birds in the sky and learning from these and from nature in general, that God is taking care of what he has created, and especially takes care of us people. And here it is a good hobby for the young people. A lot of people do have a hobby of enjoying the nature, and it is quite a good hobby. It's a better hobby than looking at your phone all the time. God speaks through his nature, and that is a good and constructive message. The content is different often from what we see in the media. This sermon text, which I read here at the beginning, speaks of centrally of that which today is also the message which God himself wants to speak to us. Apostle Paul, apostle of the unbelievers, had quite believed this message for himself and proclaimed this forward and makes this clear to the receivers of the letter, the Corinthians. When we read in the Acts, the different sermons in the Acts and the from Paul and Peter and their sermons, these sermons which they held, they pull from the promises in the Old Testament, the promise of the Savior Jesus Christ, who becomes human and fulfills the sin of man, which God's own population did not receive, but nailed him to a cross. But through a miracle, those crosses on the on Golgotha, that was the reconciliation of our sin. And for the Jewish people who rejected Jesus, it is nevertheless for them a first Paul went to the synagogue to proclaim the gospel of God, but then went to the unbelievers, and he became, in a primary sense, a apostle to the unbelievers. And when we read these sermons of the apostles, what this word message was the word of salvation, and it awoke the feeling of guilt and drove a need of what do I need to do. Others rejected that message, but others wanted to grab to what the apostle wanted to say. But all those we could find also those people who wanted to receive this gospel, and to them was proclaimed the forgiveness of sins in the name and blood of Jesus. This the power through the Holy Spirit. In the Pentecostal gospel, we can hear this. The apostles left to proclaim this message of salvation, the reconciliation. The main point here in these spiritual gatherings, in these services, just this, that this forgiveness of sins, the gospel, is proclaimed. That matter that God Himself, through Christ, made this reconciliation through the world and did not input their trespasses onto them. A person is also at conflict with God, also being angry with God. And this happened with the first couple of people that fall into sin. But God is good and loves people and offers through His Son Christ this forgiveness of sins. So now the apostles went forth to preach. And in this text, Paul says, unto us, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Who? Us. Well, naturally, Paul and the other apostles, and after them, to the congregation of Christ, those who are influenced by the Holy Spirit in their gifts. In Corinth, there was that gift of the prophet, this prophesizing, this proclaiming, and this preaching and teaching. They had other gifts as well, and speaking, explaining, and healing. But that most important gift, which Paul highlights, is this prophesizing gift. The word, the preaching of the word of God and teaching this gift. Today, it is also true that the words Paul here are, that to us he has committed the word of reconciliation. To us, Christians living today, we have been able to hear the word of the gospel personally and believe in that. From us also, we can be said, as Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, and God speaks through us. Accept this reconciliation from God. God has achieved this reconciliation through Christ, who was clean from sin, who had no sin. He carried our sin so that through Him we would be righteous through God. And this holds true today as well. And for this reason, none of us needs to be without hope, hopeless. God loves you as well, who feels perhaps you are far away from Him, who doubt that I have already lost my time of grace. There we could have some of these people in this service listening. I've come to services, but it feels like I have lost this time of grace. I have a want to believe and own this mercy of God, but it's perhaps too late. No, that's not the case for you. That time is not yet past. If it had been, you would not be asking, but you would be coldly rejecting the word of God, or even mocking it. Or reconciliation, it belongs to everybody. irrespective of any sins, small or large, and it touches all, impacts all people on the world. And we have to, as people, we have to accept this reconciliation. We have to receive it. Can we think like this, that if we personally, in our minds, I think that, okay, now I'm reconciled, and God, and when we have accepted this, that the relationship with God is now at hand, it's okay. Or can we think that when we've been baptized as a child, all matters are now taken care of? And if even if you don't pay much attention to matters of faith in the rest of your life, it's as if this kind of a guarantee or an insurance of something happening in the past as a child. I am now a child of God, irrespective of how I live. This kind of logical thinking is not sufficient, but that redemption, reconciliation through Christ is necessary, that Christ can live in us. As a child, Jesus Christ has been in our hearts for all of us children. Christ has reconciled all the world's sins for all the children, for everybody from the childbirth on. And into this faith, a child is baptized. And this in the books is written. And it is like this. But nevertheless, this childlike faith, we can say that if it's not grounded or not at home or not taught or not withheld at home, it's not taken care of, then you for sure will exit and sin will overwhelm and you will enter into the world and your spiritual well-being will die. This does not mean that this forgiveness is based on logical thinking in your own mind, that, oh sure, I can partake in this grace. God is love. But when in your heart you live in sin, the devil lives in your heart. And the ability to repent means that in place of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And this is a great significant change. The landlord is now new. Paul states to the Corinthians that he himself, I have born, the Corinthians needed through Paul to be born into a child of God. And the Holy Spirit impacts through Paul and his proclamations. And for this reason, it was possible, as you listened to Paul's word, that those who received it, they became children of God. The landlord in their heart changed. The devil ran away. And in its place came the Lord Jesus Christ himself to live. In my mind, I recall an old-time preacher from Helsinki, Otto Laine, from the 1960s, as a student at the Helsinki RY, I would listen to, and a kind of amused from time to time. He would speak in local slang, and we often heard him speak of Jesus' reconciliation and repenting to this into the teachings of Christ. And Otto would encourage us to believe into the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus had earned on Golgotha. And those in unbelief, He encouraged into repentance, and through that, the experience in the person's inside, in their heart, there would be a change of landlord, which would mean that the old habits of the old landlord would be thrown out, and then the habits and furniture of the new landlord would come in, and it would change in a heartbeat when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in heart and lives in your heart. We can probably all understand what Otto here is meaning. When we have accepted the reconciliation into God, we are taking the word of reconciliation to us. The Lord Jesus Christ does come and lives in our hearts. But when we think of ourselves in this moment, you, dear listener of the word, you may be doubting. Can such a sinful person, such an unfulfilled person, can in there such a person's heart live the Lord Jesus Christ? It has been said, in the beginning of Christianity, when there was very few services and was infrequently meeting other believers, so when we greeted, we would ask each other, does Christ live through faith in your heart? Does he? Asking this question often, for sure, would have led to a spiritual conversation, and sins would be put away, and we would bless each one another in the gospel. And for sure, even today, and this today we're asking about how are you, how are things going, and this real taking care of one's soul. This is the year. This is 500 years from the cleansing of the Christianity, and we have been speaking of this here. And the path of Martin Luther went through his personal seeking for himself. How do I find the grace, merciful God? And he did at last find that comfort at the monasteries. A foreman who encouraged him to uplift his eyes to the Lord Jesus, who has reconciled the sins of the world. And it was made clear to Luther, this righteousness, this in the Romans chapter, that the righteousness is revealed from faith. And Luther speaks of what is the impact once Christ comes and lives in your heart. Christ carries the sins, and we can own part of that righteousness in him. And it is a happy change. And when Christ lives through faith in us, and he wants through the Holy Spirit influence us, and which is the most important, love. Now, the fruits of the faith, the most important, which is love, which is seen in the acts and the deeds of the children of God. Christ is our example, and it's very important that we read the Bible. And how did Jesus treat his neighbors, and how was he teaching? Apostle Paul said in the Philippines, have that kind of mindset which Jesus Christ had. There is a lot to learn from that. We believe that here at the Bodhi Summer Services, there are children of God here, those who are happy and rejoice that we can be freed from our sins. We are sinful. We are that. We can't change that, but we have a want to live as believers in our everyday life. When we err, we ask for forgiveness, and we forgive, And there is that own self that is often tried. Jesus once told his disciples, "Do not fear, small flock. Your Father has decided to give you power." A great group. God's flock has always been small. And it's that message of gospel is sometimes lost in the other messages. But he who seeks shall find, and that who knocks shall be opened unto. Paul says that if we cover up the gospel that we preach, it's also hidden from those who will end up being lost. And Paul means those who their own self has blinded them, and who in their unbelief do not see the brightness of Christ. They don't see this light. That Christ, who is the sacrifice of God, the worldly God, the gods of the people of the world, has many methods in which to blind Christ. And this happens very well through media. From the empty grave of Jesus, that also left a message of lies. Those guards who were also witnessed the resurrection, they had to tell that when they were sleeping, Jesus' disciples came and stole Jesus' body. So this type of message was also told that they had to say by the high priest, who gave them a great deal of money to say that. And lots of money has gone into discount the Bible. And the logical mind can easily go into this mindset that everything is also all because of man and thought of by man. But what does a man's soul need? Is he fulfilled with only bread and this talk? Is culture sufficient and this fun? We can find those who have awoken and think, when what will happen to me when I will be held to account in front of God? How can I have reconciliation with God? The weight of sin weighs strong. These people, as a priest, I have seen many of these at the hospital bed and in the jails. Quite rarely in the midst of the people who feel fine. It has been moving to see that word of reconciliation has brought that peace and joy. Jesus says that the people who will do not need healing. I have not sent to call the righteous, but the sinful. And today we can also believe that in the measurements of the world, we are a very small flock who have gathered here as God's kingdom is approaching, and the King of this kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in our midst. He who has brought us salvation for our sins, and through all his all-encompassing powers, we are his ambassadors, and we can encourage every person to believe in the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus Christ has earned. You, dear listener of the word, you can today believe that precisely for you, your sins are forgiven. They have been redeemed in Christ, and through the blood of Jesus Christ have been forgiven. And this message is for all. And if you haven't believed before, and now as an unbeliever, wish that your matters would also become sorted in front of God. You can receive this gospel, no matter where you are. Are you close, thousands of kilometers away? you can receive this message and believe that all your sins Jesus has redeemed and they are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And this is how we can remain in the trust of this gospel and live in this message of glad tidings and live in that hope which in our previous speaker that it said where we can one day reach our destination and receive eternal life. God promises this for promises this type of future for us, or even if our faith is weak, and we can put our trust in this. In Jesus' name, amen.